So excited for us to be together again with Arlene in studio.
Hi, Belinda and Omar.
Today's topic is, what do a artist, a poet, and a land steward have to do with each other? And I love this question. You know, Arlene, our artist, Belinda, our land steward with Hestia, and now Big Island and visions around the world, and me with my poetic imagination. We've really been having a behind the scenes conversation about, like, what calls us together.
And this is a beautiful time of year to have this conversation and hold this question. So many of us entering a new year are in a more reflective place. Like, what am I doing? What have I been doing? And why? And where do I want to go? And I love that a lot of the work around gratitude blooming is taking that intentional pause to be with these questions that are, you know, that don't have easy answers. I think for me, the biggest question is just like, how do I evolve, and how do I evolve together with others? And what does nature have to say about it? And what can nature show us about change and building coherence and navigating uncertainty? And so for me, it's been really like, I don't think these big questions of our time can be answered in silos within us.
I love the idea of co-creation. It sounds beautiful, but like, it's also just, in reality, it's a messy process. And so in that way, you know, the question is, why is gratitude blooming holding space for an artist, a poet, and a land steward coming together?
When Arlene and I first were thinking about gratitude blooming, like 6-7 years ago, like, what would this space be? You know, we knew we didn't know the answer, but it was a lot of holding space for what values, virtues are most important in navigating the inner journey. And even though we've, you know, done different things externally, I feel like it always kind of goes back to that question of like, how do we find our way together? And having a really tangible compass, you know, it's not about the roadmap. You know, it's really more about, how do you know when you're on the right path that feels right and aligned for you? And then, you know, with us, I feel like it's like been a collective path of wayfinding, and with a lot of checkpoints. Like, are we feeling still like we're all together, you know, hitting our North Star? So yeah, I think that that is a really important process to go through, and no one can tell you how to do it except when you're in the messiness of it, in the dark of it.
I think a lot of the reason why I'm an artist is because, you know, I spend a lot of time on my own. So to collaborate is actually very energy consuming for me. And, you know, so when I think about why it is that I keep showing up for the podcast, right, like month after month, it's because of the words that I hear you two speak. There is something Belinda just said, you know, earlier in this conversation about, you know, why we need to be in community creating together. It's important. Like, things, unexpected things that wouldn't happen when you're all just working by yourself will happen in community, even if being in community can be hard.
Is there anything more specific beyond community or co-creation? Like, those feel like very high ideals. And, you know, I think one of the things that I've been really sitting with is like, what actually makes something very real though, right? You know, yesterday I was in Tijuana and delivering, you know, bags of donated clothes and blankets for a sanctuary that is holding literally shelter and food and love for 1,600 migrants from around the world. And, you know, there's something very real about like crossing a border, like making a wrong turn in a place that then all of a sudden, like getting back, there's not an easy left turn. And then you end up driving another 3 miles in a direction and then like coordinating with the local sort of group to be like, hey, we're now 3 miles from where we said we were going to be across the border. How do we get back? You know, how do we drive up this like super, this canyon? It was like this migrant space has emerged out of a canyon that literally had 13 years ago, 500 pigs running around. And the pastor was like being told, like, you need to create a space here for migrants. He's like, it smells. I don't want to do this, you know? And so it's like, what are we willing to tolerate? Because, and he didn't even want to create this space. It was like 3 people asked him to do this before he finally said yes. You know, and so like, what is your yes in this space?
The three of us have had conversations offline, right, about why we're doing the work that we do. And I do think where we intersect is that the world is getting pretty dark out there, right? The things, it's like people are having a hard time just talking to each other civilly, right, out in the world. And so, you know, when we talk about creating a space to put a light, shine a light on human values, as opposed to, you know, more just disagreements and just the inability to have a conversation with each other, then I'm like, yeah, this work is, it's foundational. This is the most important work we can be doing. When I'm reminded that that's part of what we're doing, then I'm like, yes, I'm going to show up. I'll show up as long as, you know, we're able to reach people.
What reminders do you need, Belinda?
I think it goes back to what you said about what does it take for things to feel real? We've talked a lot about the podcast, about behavior change, rewards, reminders, things like this. And I'm such an Aquarius. I don't follow steps very well. And if it's too structured, I kind of resist it. That's kind of my resistance. So for me, it's like, does what I'm doing feel real in the world, in my life, in a deep way? And I think that's kind of the beauty I see in the spaces that we hold, especially in the podcast, is how do you like be with the discomfort of the struggle? Because so much of our society, especially Western society, is all about, you know, just solving the problem and then showing what you did, you know, afterwards. But like, there were so many moments where we could have just been like, you know, define something, create something, make it tangible, make it visible, so we feel like we've created something. And then we feel like, oh, we're done. Like and I think what I've really appreciated about our alchemy is that's not enough for any of us to just like check off the box and say, we finished the job. And I think that's where I feel like gratitude blooming as a larger energy is kind of pushing us, right? Like there have been times where I'm like, why is this so hard? Like doing traditional business things with a product or with a podcast, like why is it not revealing itself that it wants to be done in this way? And I think gratitude blooming constantly is challenging each of us to look for another way, because the current way is not working. And maybe it never had, but like the illusion of it working like has never been, you know, present for us, which is why I think I appreciate us kind of leaning more into our collective as an art experiment. Because I think, you know, Arlene, you speak to this a lot, is artists don't have any illusions around knowing the answer. They're just fascinated with the inquiry of it and making sure that this question is actually relevant for the times. You know, I feel like artists historically have been the cultural pioneers. I'm curious for you, Omar, what's alive in all of these questions and reflections?
it's very easy to get weighted down by what is happening or maybe not happening in the world. And centering on joy and play. And we know that, like, there's a spontaneity, there's a curiosity, there's a non-attachment in some ways that can come out of play. It does not feel so life or death. And I'm appreciating right now, you know, we say like the three habits are reminders, routines, rewards, right? And I think part of what's happening right now is that we're used to reminders through notifications and streaks, right? Like, I'm big on Duolingo right now so I can learn Spanish. And the amount of energy that they have created in the game design to remind me to play, to practice every day, is they put a lot of, it's a billion-dollar company to try to just remind me to practice Spanish every day. But I also feel like that's also very not, it's not sustainable and not always healthy, right? To use notifications and streaks to remember things. And so I feel like we're trying to create a new kind of remembrance, right? It's like even in our card deck, remembrance. And when I look at the word remembrance, again, member, to be a part of, like, how do we be a part of something again? And that maybe is what feels so elusive and fraying, is our social cohesion. And maybe this is why this is so hard, is that, like, it feels easier to be apart, right? It feels more complicated and messy to do things with other people, particularly when you're not all in agreement as to what something should be. And or maybe there aren't the power dynamics that sort of says, like, oh, this person will lead the way and I will concede my authority to that person or that entity. And so what is this deeper remembrance that we're part of? And I think of then an artist, a poet, and a land steward, like an artist, like, what is that visual reminder, right? The poet, what is that imagination, and what is the sort of sketch of words to remind us? What is, as a land steward, the ground that we're sort of standing on to keep us connected and literally grounded in some ways? And so I guess I asked that question again, like, what is an artist, a poet, and land steward being called to do together, right? Because we can do those things separately, right? There's nothing that sort of requires us to do that together. What are we being reminded to do? Or what is the remembrance that we're trying to connect back to?
For me, it's the space that we hold. Because I think art and poetry are, they ignite things in our imagination, in our sense of the world, right? These things, like, take you out of your mundane autopilot life and bring you into another perspective or reality. With my work as a land steward, I mean, that's a very broad term, and maybe not everyone understands what that actually means. You know, for me, my sense of my role tending to land and community on land is actually space holding as well. You know, it's holding space with the land. It's receiving the space that the land holds for me. Nature, you know, being the land, the water, the elements, that all the elements of nature are kind of the ways to that I use to invite people into a new perspective on their life when they come, you know, wanting something to change in their life. And so in that way, I see that being the intersection and what gratitude blooming is. It's like, in many ways, the podcast is like, you know, every single time we record and share our reflections, it is a space that's being held for us to step out of the mundane into the, like, possibility. Or, like, seeing something in different ways. And I think that's also the importance of why it's like the three of us. It's like we can't see, we each have our own blind spots or ways that we can't see. And so you kind of need other people to share what they see. So then you can, we can all see differently in a bigger, more expansive lens. I don't think that that can happen even with the best VR technology, right? Like it is like constructed organically in the moment.
I love your words, Belinda. It's, and again, the things that really stand out for me in your words are that, like, what can we do together, right, that we can't do on our own? That just seems like a message I hear from you over and over again, and it's the reminder to me. But, you know, when I sit and think about the question, Omar, it's I'm very clear about my what I do in my art is it is to heal. It's to heal, and I think it's healing the soul or the heart or whatever, you know, it's like the spirit, I don't know what the right word is, but I feel like it's very clear to me that that is my intent in the world. When you spark someone's poetic imagination, when you spark the person's individual poetic imagination, it can just shift so much in the course of that person's life. And I feel like that's what art and poetry have always done through the ages.
The words that I'm hearing are healing, place or space making, and play, right? And joy, right? Like, how do we remind ourselves, like, so that way it doesn't feel like Groundhog's Day, that it doesn't feel like, why am I doing this again? Like, why am I like hustling to either find sponsors or find people to show up to something or to, like, you know, because if it's not like the classic model is like, hey, we're, you know, an e-commerce company and you want to like build a product and you want to improve your SEO. And if that's not actually the motivation, right, then the motivation is something, you know, different. And then maybe it's less material and maybe it's more intrinsic. So how do we put those in the forefront for ourselves? And I think the reality is because no one else is going to do it for us, right? Like if we're going to be unconventional, then it needs to be really clear why we're swimming upstream, right? Like why we're not going with the flow. Why are we sort of taking this different route? And so then if healing and space and joy are really what we're sort of, and I use that word medicines. This is the medicine that we want to bring into the world. Like, what are the ways in which we are being invited to do that? And then we have no other obligation other than to that. We have no other obligation other than to create moments for healing, create spaces for healing, create moments for joy. That's it. And so then it's like, this is what we're doing. This is what our medicine bag is. And like, let's just run and play and see what is possible within that, right? So then all of a sudden, like, an artist, a poet, and a land steward, like, this is our magic. Let's play. Let's figure out how to bring these things into, let's listen to how these things want to bring into the world. And we have no obligation to do anything other than that. We've intentionally chosen this labor of love. We've not obligated ourselves. And in fact, we've made choices to enable us to have this creative freedom. Right? And that's our only responsibility.
Yeah, I think that's the other important thing is, what are we going to opt out of? And it's not easy to find other people that are living their lives differently and opting out of things that a lot of people are opting into. And I think that is the other piece, is like that, you know, holding space to be reminded. Like in some ways, the space of the podcast is remembering every time, like, why we're doing what we're doing in spite of what's happening outside of us. Because I think there's always these examples of how it's not enough or what else it needs to be. And what we're creating in many ways is something immeasurable. To me, has become really clear that in some ways, the gratitude blooming plants and the virtues of the themes kind of keep us in integrity and alignment. You know, being honest about how we feel, what we notice, having a shared set of values, I think is really important as well. Like, I don't think we would be continuing to do what we're doing it for this long without something to anchor that. I would love to pick a card too and see what Gratitude Blooming has to say.
Mm.
This whole conversation has been a reminder of how easy it is to forget what your like purpose or focus, you know, if our focus is, you know, healing and joy and space holding, it's like, the world really isn't set up for those things. And so, you know, you've made me think about the importance of reminders so much more. So I don't know if there's a question that we can frame around that, you know, as we pick a card.
I think the question that's coming to me is just, what should we be listening for?
I'm just going to move the cursor down and you all just let me know when to stop.
I'm feeling like fourth column. So, Omar, maybe you can pick a row.
Row 5. Here we go. Number 18, the daisy, representing simplicity. If you were to simplify your life, what would you choose to keep? And if I recall, this is the new t-shirt and tote bag as well, right? Like, we're rooting for you, from SJ, who was a guest and looked at these two daisies and saw two eyes looking up at him and just felt the invitation, or just even felt them cheering them on. It was like, he felt like they were rooting for him.
And in the theme of play, when I drew these, I remember afterwards feeling like it felt like these two daisies were about to dance. And one was curtsying, like I had this sense of play when the drawing emerged.
Well, it's interesting that there's multiple flowers, so it's not just one, it's a pair. And it's like, how can you strip away all the things that are extraneous to be able to remember? Because I think when it's there's too many things, it's hard to see clearly. And this illustration always has, I always see two eyes looking back at me, like very sternly. So I do feel like there is a message or a medicine of the daisy around that, like, how can you keep things really simple to retain the purest essence of what it is? And in many ways, I think these plants and the words and the virtues are kind of that.
Yeah, I'm just also centering on the words choose to keep. And I think part of simplicity and part of remembrance is also like to stay in the moment. And it's our attachments to obligations and things that sometimes take us out of the moment, right? Like, we like, oh, I want this. Like, we talk about this all the time, right? Like, gratitude reminds us that change is constant. What is not constant is our mind's ability to adapt to change. And the thing is that sometimes if we hold on to too many things, we're attached and we are knocked out of staying present to change. And so it's like, what do we keep that actually just allows us to change and adapt? Really, that in some ways, if we were to flip the question around, I think is really, what can we keep that allows us to stay present? What can we keep that allows us to adapt? What can we keep that enables us to stay present? Right? that's in some ways, it's like a much more clarifying question. It's like, what can I keep to stay here as opposed to lost in the past or fearful of the future?
Like, that is what the podcast is. It's a living expression and mirror of our space that we hold for this.
Beautiful. Well, we will now listen to the song Remembrance by Ariel Lowe, who's now created three albums aligned with the cards. And hopefully in the new year, we'll have the fourth album and there'll be a song for every theme in the card deck to remind us, whether it's visually or through sound, of these things that are important to us. About the song is it has that feeling of rewind in it. Yesterday, as we were driving back from Tijuana, we started talking about our dreams, and my youngest daughter, Kenzie, said whenever she's having a dream that she doesn't like or a bad dream, she'll rewind the dream and start over. And I think, you know, I think about the Gratitude Blooming card deck, and the first card in the deck is forgiveness. And forgiveness is what allows us to rewind, right? To start over, to try again. And maybe that's also maybe the larger reminder is that we're not supposed to get this right or perfect, right? It's about us just being human. And how do we get to be human every day?
What a nice way to end the conversation. How do we get to be human every day? Was that right? Yeah, I like that.
I feel like we're time traveling with that song. So lovely to spend this time with you all every month, a couple times a month, to kind of remember and rewind.
Wishing you all well. Cheers.
Cheers.